Whenever you go into a town, will they make you welcome, eat what is set before you? How many parents would wish that their children would obey this demand or mandate of the Lord? Eat what is set before you, rather than picking and choosing what you'd like to eat. We in like form are called to imitate Christ and to follow him. A follower of Christ is a disciple, and we are all disciples of the Lord, followers. We recall that in the scriptures, 72 were sent out as followers. Of those 72, 12 would become apostles, of which only one remained faithful to the cross. The others did remain faithful after and suffered persecution, torment, anguish, and all but one martyrdom. To follow the Lord from this life to the next will involve discomfort, suffering, pain, persecution, but in the end we shall attain peace. Peace to this house, peace in God's kingdom. What is God's kingdom? God's kingdom on earth is the church. The church, however, is on earth imperfect. Everything on earth is imperfect. Only God in heaven is perfection. Hence the saying of our Lord, "Be ye perfect as my Father is perfect." The church that Christ willed us into by virtue of our baptism has four hallmarks or characteristics, which we say in the Apostles' Creed. Is a one, holy, Catholic and apostolic church. The oneness of the church refers to its unicity. There's only one Christ, one head and one church, and the church is his body. Therefore, in the church he founded, there's only one head, visible head, the Pope, only one Bible, only one form of liturgy or worship in the seven sacraments. And that's a great consolation for us Catholics, wherever we go in the world, be it to Nairobi, be it to New York or Narrabri, we all have the oneness, the same prayers, the same belief, the same sacraments. That doesn't exist in any other religious denomination. Be it Muslims or Baptists, they vary from place to place. Even the Anglicans, what they do out here at Jindara and what they do in town, and their ceremonies are different because they don't have that unicity, that oneness in doctrine or worship as we do. There are similarities, but not to the same degree. Secondly, the church is holy. God is holy, heaven is holiness, and we are called to sanctity. As we have sanity in our minds and hopefully cleanliness in our bodies, we have also sanctity of soul. We are called to be saints. Everyone on earth is a sinner aiming to be a saint. That's our goal, that's our destiny, and that is ultimately whether we're going to be a winner or a loser. There's only one tragedy in this life not to attain sanctity or sainthood in the next. And to help us do that, Christ gave to his church the means by which we can become saints through the seven sacraments that give divine power, sanctifying grace to our souls. The third characteristic hallmark of the church is it's Catholic. That's a Greek word, katholon is the verb, meaning universal. The church is open to all, irrespective of your gender, your nationality, your age, your background, employment, it doesn't matter. We can all front up at the same pew. Banker, poor person, whatever our situation in life, wherever we've come from, we're all equal in the sight of God. We all share the same common dignity. That was a unique characteristic in the early church because until then, to belong to a religious group, you had to be of a certain, I suppose, elite class or have a certain background or interest. It wasn't open to one at all, as is the church then and still today. The last hallmark characteristic of the church is it's apostolic. Apostolic in two senses. Firstly, in its origin, Christ gave the church to 12 apostles, and from then we have all the bishops and priests of the church and the faithful in the world. So our roots are apostolic, and only the Catholic Church can be the church founded by Christ through the apostles. But it's not merely fixed in history, this notion. The church is apostolic by function in the sense that we are called to go forth at the end of Mass, to take the insights we've received into the mind through the virtue of faith and our souls filled with divine grace unto others, to take what we have been given and give it unto others. The mission is ever ongoing, ever present in the striving to save souls. So the Church will always be apostolic, seeking to win more sinners as saints into heaven. One, holy, Catholic and apostolic are the four hallmarks of our faith, of our Church, of the body of Christ, the kingdom of God here on earth. And within that context, we've heard in the Gospel today that peace is an integral element within the Church, the kingdom of God. Not peace in the sense of no warfare on earth, but peace rather of soul. This inner peace comes from Christ Jesus. And after the Lord's Prayer, the only prayer that's been given to us from heaven to earth, we hear this prayer said at Mass. The priest says, I leave you peace. My peace I give you. Look not on our sins, but on the faith of your Church, and grant us the peace and unity of your kingdom. We live forever and ever. How often do we hear those words said, but do we understand that what is being said is not the priest, but rather Christ is giving you, I leave you my peace, the peace that comes from within, I give unto you. I'm not going to look at your sinfulness, your failings, your weaknesses, your flaws, but I'm going to look at the pristine faith of the Church that's becoming more perfect as it comes closer to eternal life. And upon looking at the Church, I'm going to see you as members of my Church, future saints, and therefore I will grant unto you the peace of soul you so ardently desire, and form you and unite you here on earth so that you may partake one day of the kingdom that shall last forever and ever. And that is what Christ does promise to us and does give us, that peace of soul, when we seek him with an open heart. One person who found that as a reality in his own life after much turmoil and tragedy was Alexander. This week we celebrate as a feast day on Wednesday the story, the life and the legacy of Saint Maria Goretti, a story of purity that is even more so important today in our besotted, lustful age, but also one of tremendous forgiveness and healing. I put a small piece in the bulletin regarding her life. We recall that at the age of 11, just short of 12 years old, she was stabbed to death by Alexander, or Alessandro, who used to live in the house upstairs where they were residing and working on the farm. He was besotted with her and sought her, wanted to seduce her because of her beauty, her innocence, but she refused to sin, she refused to consent to his will. And in a blind rage, he stabbed her to death. She would not die immediately, but only 24 hours after she had been assaulted. And in the course of her suffering, and it was tremendous suffering because they didn't have the analgesics we have today in that part of Italy or at that time in history, she managed to forgive Alexander for what he had done. With her mother beside her, she said, I forgive him. And she sought forgiveness from God for anything she'd done wrong. She died a very holy death, Saint Maria Goretti, and we're sure that she went straight to heaven or thereabouts. Alexander, however, they wanted to put him to death. They wanted to pass the death penalty upon him, but it wasn't permitted by law. He was, however, condemned to 30 years of hard labour for killing Maria. And for the first 7 years in jail, he was utterly bitter, twisted. He was playing the blame game. It wasn't my fault, it was her fault. The blame game. I'm always innocent, everyone else is guilty. And he was just a very hard man to deal with at that stage. He would not be reconciled with the Church. He spat upon priests who came near. He was very twisted. But God would have his moment. After those years of turmoil and tragedy, Maria appeared to him in a dream, in a vision, one night, and told him that she had forgiven him before she died. And now she is in heaven, and she wanted him to be where she was. So, go to confession, seek forgiveness, be healed of your crime. And he did. He called the priest in, was reconciled to the Lord, sought forgiveness, and became then a model prisoner. So good a prisoner that they released him early. Of course, upon being released, he did what you and I perhaps couldn't do. He went to find Mrs. Goretti and begged forgiveness from the mother for having killed the daughter. And then he went into religious life and joined a monastery where he died in 1970, a rather holy death. Alexander, in spite of what he had done and the crime he had committed, found peace of soul, that peace of soul which we all desire. It came to him by an extraordinary grace from the girl he himself had murdered. So the point is, there's no hopeless cases. Irrespective of where someone is in their present life today, God's grace can intervene, set them free, and grant them the grace they stand in need of. Let us therefore pray for those who have wandered, those who are perhaps thinking that they're beyond God's grace, beyond his forgiveness, that in this year of mercy they may open their hearts to receive that grace and to find, like Alexander, peace of soul. Praise be Jesus Christ.